We don't know, a lot about angels and their functions other than that they were created beings by God for His purpose. We do know that they have as much power as what God will allow them to have. And they are a lot more powerful than what we are. However, it's going to be interesting to see about the angel Gabriel. Many believe that there were three archangels. They believe that the archangels were Lucifer, Gabriel, and Michael. Now, I, believe it or not, I went into the book of Enoch. How many of you ever heard of the book of Enoch? Okay. Where's the book of Enoch at? Huh? It what? Yeah, it's close to the book of Hezekiah. Anyway, but in the book of Enoch, believe it or not, there, and this is why we have to be so careful when we use books. I don't care how old the books they are. I don't care when they were written. I don't care who they're written by. We have to be so careful that of what we read and things like that. Now, in the book of Enoch, it says that there could have been as many as four or six angels that would have been like an archangel that would have been around the throne of God. Now, the Bible only talks about three, and that's Gabriel, Michael, and Lucifer. And we need to realize that when we read books, we should just take them for what they are, and that's man's interpretation. I want to look, though, at one angel this morning by the name of Gabriel for just a little while, and I want to show you some things about him that I believe that, believe it or not, we could use in our own lives. The first thing is this. I want to look at his preparation. Now, Michael, one of the other higher angels, represents the angels and their might in conflict with evil. When you see Michael mentioned in the Bible, he is either fighting or protecting Israel from evil. Now, Gabriel is ministers comfort and sympathy to a man in dark times. Now, I'm going to be looking at the three times, basically, that Gabriel is mentioned in the Bible. The first one, if you want to turn your Bibles to Daniel chapter 8. Daniel chapter 8. What's that? We'll get to that in a little bit. Well, we'll get to that in a little bit. Don't get ahead of my lesson. I hate that when that happens. I mean, that's a Wednesday night question, by the way. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Daniel chapter 8, starting verse 16, it says, "And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Ulai, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. But he said unto me, Understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. Now, as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face towards the ground, but he touched me and set me upright, and he said, Behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation for the time appointed the end shall be. Now, Daniel had dreamed a dream of he goat and a ram, and he did not understand what it was. Now, who was Daniel? Okay, he was a prophet. Now, he what? Okay, he was in Babylon. What did Daniel do? Okay, he interpreted dreams for Nebuchadnezzar. Now, what we need to realize is that Daniel had a dream, and he could not understand what the interpretation of that dream was. Now, this last Friday night in Tug, we got into a very, very, very good discussion of dreams. And a lot of the kids wanted to know about dreams and if dreams, you know, come true and things like that. And so we went into a little bit of this. And I told him, I said, well, if you take and you look at Daniel, I said, Daniel was a person that could interpret dreams. However, he could not interpret his own dream. And I showed him from Daniel chapter 8 how that God sent Gabriel to take and interpret Daniel's dream. Now, Daniel had dreamed of a ram and a he-goat, and that he had no idea what the interpretation of that dream was. So God had Gabriel come and interpret the dream for Daniel. Now, I don't know about you, but I think it would be kind of cool to have God send an angel down to interpret our dreams. Amen? You know, let us know what our dreams are really about. Because, I mean, some of my dreams are really weird. I mean, they are really weird. And, in fact, I was telling the kids the other night that I had a dream one night. And I have no idea what it was about or what the interpretation of it was, other than, you know, I know that I'm going to die someday. But I had died, and I'd went to heaven. And when I got to heaven, there was a line of men standing in this line waiting to shake my hand. And I knew every one of those men, every one of them. I knew them, and I'd never met them before. One of them, the guy in the front of the line, was Dr. Jack Hiles. The guy right behind him was John R. Rice. The one right behind him was Billy Sunday. The one right behind him was Charles Spurgeon. And so on and so on and so on. And there was a long line of these men that were standing, and every one of them, as they shook their hand, they said, "We've been waiting for you. We've been waiting for you. We've been waiting for you." And I got to thinking about that, and I thought, ooh, man, maybe I'm not going to be here all that long. You know what I mean? And so I have no idea what the interpretation of the dream was, but it was really neat. And then, you know what? I woke up. That was the bad part. I woke up. And do you think I could get back to that dream again? You know, sometimes we have good dreams and we want to get back to them. We can't get back to them. But, you know, no one had ever heard of anything that this angel, or that Gabriel was telling to Daniel. Now, what Gabriel was telling Daniel was of the things to come. In fact, he was talking about Daniel's 70 weeks. And turn over to Daniel chapter 9 real quick. Starting in verse 21, it says, "Yea, whiles I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me by the time of the evening obligation, and he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision." Now here we see that Daniel was telling us who this angel was, and it was the angel Gabriel. Now Gabriel appears to Daniel as a form of what? What form did he have? Let's take a look at that again. in verse 21, it says, yea, whiles I was speaking in prayer, even the what? Man, Gabriel. Now, I find this very interesting. I have never found anywhere in the Bible. Now, maybe Brother Echols, you have, and you can correct me on this, but I've never found anywhere in the Bible where it talks about a woman being an angel. Every time it talks about an angel, it's always in the masculine sense. It's never in the feminine sense. And so, angels, I believe, are masculine, that they're not feminine. And so thus, you know, you can't have baby angels. Amen? Because they're all in the masculine sense. But here we see that he calls him even a man. You know, it's unknown if the angels all have human forms. However, I do believe that there's so many places in the Bible that it talks about angels having human forms that they could actually be in human form, a lot of them. And the reason I say that is, do you remember in the Old Testament when... I'll get back up here. Here we go. Do you remember in the Old Testament with Jacob? And, well, let's go back to Abraham. Abraham, he said, he did what? He was talking with who? He was talking to three men, okay? One of them, many believe, was the Lord Jesus, and the other two were angels. Now, who went to Sodom? The angels. Okay, now, what form were they? They were human form. And so what we see here is we see that many times in the Bible it talks about angels being in human form. How many of you have ever seen an angel? I think I have. And this happened about 35 years ago in Arkansas. And I believe that this angel was sent for a message to me. And my wife and I and kids, we were at a diamond mine in Arkansas, and we were digging for diamonds. And this diamond mine, believe it or not, over the years has produced a lot of diamonds. And so anyway, we were digging for diamonds, and we were just having a good time. And we had four kids with us. We had my two daughters and two other kids with us. And they were off, probably 50 yards away from us. And this guy come walking up, and we started talking to him. And he never told me his name, never once. But he was carrying a briefcase. And he came up, and we started talking. I thought it was kind of odd that somebody would be in an open area with a briefcase. You know what I mean? Anyway, so we got to talking, and one of the things, he reached in the briefcase and he handed me a little box, and he says, I want you to give this to Amanda and tell her to keep her life as pure as this diamond. And I said, okay. And so I took the diamond from him. It was a little diamond. It was had 3 points on it, 3-point diamond. And so we got to talking, and I... you know me, first thing I say is, well, I say, I got a question for you. If you were to die, where would you spend eternity? And he looked right at me, and he says, well, he says, I know I'd be in heaven. He says, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt I'd be in heaven. And I said, well, what makes you think so? He says, believe me, I would be in heaven. I said, okay. I said, well, what version of the Bible do you use? He says, while I'm here, I use the King James. I said, what do you mean? He says, well, he says, I normally use, and he told me the translation, and I had never heard of it. And I looked it up, I did searches and everything else, and there is no such translation. And he says, I use that one because that is the authorized version from God. But he says, the closest version we have in the English-speaking language is the King James Version. And he told me that. And I thought, wow, that's kind of cool. And so we were talking, and the last thing he said to me was this. He said, we must be busy about our Father's business because our time is short. And I went and I said, yeah, I know, our time is very short. And I went down and I went in this mud and I started digging in the mud trying to find a diamond, you know. And now my wife was sitting behind me. She heard the whole conversation, everything. She saw him, everything. And I was working in the mud and I looked up and he was gone. There was nowhere. And I mean, we were in an open field that was 40 acres and he was gone. He wasn't anywhere around. I said to my wife, I said, where'd he go? She goes, I have no idea. He was just here. I said, yeah, I know. So the kids came up in a little bit, and I said to the kids, I said to them, I said, did you see that guy that was standing up here with us? And they said, yeah. I said, did you see where he went? He goes, no, he was standing there, and then he was gone. I said, did any of you talk to him? And they said, no, we'd never seen him before. And how did they know what a man is? How did he know what Amanda's name was? You know, and so we told the story to Amanda's mom and dad when we got back, and I mean they were just shocked, at what had happened and stuff. But you know, the Bible says we do what? We entertain angels unaware, and so what we need to realize is that, believe it or not, there's angels all around us. We don't even know it. And so, anyway, here we see that Gabriel was there and with Daniel. But then he also appears to Zechariah. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Starting in verse 19, it says, and the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb. That means he's not going to be very smart. No. And not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Now Gabriel brought glad tidings to Zacharias, and the tidings he brought was that Elizabeth was going to have a son. Now, Zacharias and Elizabeth, they were not spring chickens anymore. They were getting up in age. You know, they were older, and they had had no children. And so Gabriel comes to him, and he says, now I want you to understand something. You're not going to be able to speak until everything is fulfilled that I tell you. Now, I don't know about you, but I thought, wow. You know, but why was it that he was going to be dumb? Why was it he couldn't speak? What's that? Well, let's take a look. Let's take a look at those verses again. It says, and the angel answered and said, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God and was sent to speak unto thee and show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed. Why? Because thou believest not my, what? Words. Now here we have an angel coming to a high priest, well, not a high priest, but someone that works in the tabernacle, and he's doing his things for the sacrifices. And here's this angel that comes to him, and he says, now, just to show you who I really am, and all this is going to come true, You're not going to be able to speak for the next 9 months. Because you don't believe what I'm going to tell you. Because you don't believe. Now, how did the angel know that he wasn't going to believe what he was going to tell him? Have you ever wondered about it? I have. I wonder about things like this. How was it that Gabriel knew that Zacharias was not going to believe what he was going to tell him? What's that? Well, I don't. The reason I think this is that this is being done is that God sees our what? Heart. And I believe that God told Gabriel, you will tell him that he is going to be dumb because, number one, his age. Their age was past childbearing. Now here's, remember Sarah? What did Sarah do? When the angels came and Jesus told Abraham, he says, by this time next year, she's going to have a child. What did she do? She laughed. Why? Because she was past childbearing. This would have been an utter miracle for her to have a child at 90 years old. Amen? Now here we see Gabriel telling Zacharias, he says, hey, you're going to be dumb. You're going to not be able to speak for the next 9 months until this is fulfilled because you don't believe what I'm going to tell you. He hadn't even told him what was going to happen yet. Yeah. Well, then we got to hurry here. Gabriel appears also to Mary. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 29. It says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Now Mary was brought the announcement that she was going to be a mother, but not by a man. She was going to be a mother. She was going to have a child, but this child was not going to be conceived of a man. That in itself would be something, wouldn't it? Now, here we see that Gabriel was a messenger from God, wasn't he? He brought a proclamation that of the things that were going to happen in the future. Now, that's his presentation. Now, the second point is this. Let's look at his position. Let's look at Gabriel's position. He was, I believe, one of the angels which stand in the very presence of God because of what he said to Zechariah. He says, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God. You know, I don't know how many angels are allowed into the presence of God. I have no idea. I do not believe that every angel can just come and go as they want into God's presence. I really don't believe that. It would be much like President Trump and his army. You know, how many privates get to go up and just walk into the White House, into the Oval Office and say, hi, Commander-in-Chief, and they turn around and walk back out again? None. And I don't believe that every angel has access to God. I really don't. I believe that there are certain angels who do have access to God, and Gabriel was one of them. We have a glimpse of God's presence, or the throne room of God, in the book of Revelation, chapter 4. We see in chapter 4 of Revelation that there's 24 thrones in the throne room. And those are where the elders sit. And then we also see four beasts in the throne room. And those four beasts, as we know, give glory to God night and day. Now, one thing we need to understand is that if you go through the book of Revelation in chapter 4, you don't see angels around the throne. You see the 24 elders and you see the four beasts, but there's no angels around the throne. Now, I believe when God wants a message to be heard by someone, He may call a specific angel into His presence. Now, we talked earlier about Him possibly being one of the three main angels created by God for a specific purpose. Now, there are many who feel that each archangel at one time had one-third of all the angels underneath them. What I mean by that is that the three archangels were Michael, Lucifer, and Gabriel. And there are some commentators that believe that each of the archangels had one-third of all the angels underneath them in their leadership. And that's why one-third of all the angels were cast out of heaven when Lucifer was. His one-third of the angels were going to follow him, and God cast them out of heaven along with Lucifer. Now, that answer your question? Okay. But I do believe that there is a government in heaven. I believe that there's a government in heaven just like we have a government here on earth. I believe that each angel, and there are different levels of angels in heaven, and I believe that each and every angel has a specific purpose for what they are were created to do in heaven in order to keep the whole universe in complete the way it is. So now we want to look at just a couple minutes at his proclamation. Now, there's only three times which Gabriel is mentioned in Scripture. Just three times. When he came to Daniel and was told to reveal to Daniel the things which were going to come about in the future. When he came to Zacharias some 500 years after he had appeared to Daniel. You know, that in itself is miraculous. Think about that. Here is Gabriel appearing to Zacharias 500 years after he had appeared to Daniel. How old does that make Gabriel? No one knows. You know, there many commentators believe that many of the angels were created before the earth. So that would put them all the way back pre-creation. Now, so here we see that, you know, that makes Gabriel pretty old. Lastly, when he came and told Mary that she was going to be the mother to be the waited for Messiah, how long had they been waiting for the Messiah? Yeah, roughly. All the way back from Adam and Eve, actually. Now, in all these proclamations, he did it with authority, but not by his own power. He did not do this by his power alone. He did this by the power of an almighty God. Now, we need to understand that angels only have limited power. Angels can only do as much as what God will allow them to do. You know, take a look at Satan, for instance. All right, when Satan tested Job, what did God allow him to do? Everything but kill him. He could not take Job's life. But he really raised havoc with Job, didn't he? Now, what we need to realize is that angels only have as much power as what God will allow them to have. Here we see a messenger from God doing exactly what he was to do in the time period that he was told to do it in. He brought his presentation, he showed his position, and he also gave the proclamation of what was going to happen in the future. Now, you notice that each time he came, he told of something that was going to happen in the future. After all, Daniel 70 weeks. Are they still there, or are they all done? We're in the 69th week, aren't we? And as soon as the 69th week is over, then the 70th week starts, and that's when the tribulation and the end times are upon us. Take a look at Zechariah. Zechariah, he said, now you're going to be dumb until all of this is fulfilled. He's talking to him. Elizabeth wasn't even pregnant yet. She hadn't even conceived yet. And yet here he is telling Zacharias exactly what's going to happen in the near future. Then he went to Mary, and he said to Mary, he says, okay, this is what's going to happen. You're going to be with child. She says, okay, how is that to be? I've never been with a man. He says, the Holy Spirit is going to take and overshadow you. Now, I don't believe that Mary really understood what's happening until she went to visit Elizabeth. When she went to visit Elizabeth and John leaped in Elizabeth's womb, the minute that they met, I believe the two of them realized what she was really carrying, what Mary was really carrying. And what's that? Yeah. And so what we need to realize is this, is that God sent a messenger to all three of these to show what future events were going to happen. Now, I have a question for you. Does God do that today?
Yes.
Does God send messengers to show us what's going to happen in the future today? Huh? Well, give me an example. Yes, sir. Right. What do you think, Brother Eccles? I believe that it's the Word of God, too. And it's by the Word of God that we receive our revelation. You know, to have someone come in and say, okay, a year from now, this and this and this and this is going to happen, I don't think that happens today. I don't. Now, the person I saw in Arkansas, the only thing that he told me was to make sure that this young girl kept her life pure as that diamond. It wasn't, he didn't say, okay, in 10 years, 20 years, she's going to get married. Never said any prophecy whatsoever. He said, just make sure that she keeps her life as pure as this diamond. And, you know, I do not believe that in the day and age that we live today, You know, the Bible says that when that which is perfect shall come, that which is in part shall be done away. And what that means is this, is that when the Bible was completed, the things, the dreams, the visions, the things like that were done away. Now, there's a lot of people that say, oh, I had a vision of God. I mean, I look at some of these religions that are out today. Let's look at the Mormon religion. Okay, Joseph Smith says that he had a vision from God and that he told him to go and dig underneath this tree and he found these golden tablets. Well, he went over and he dug underneath this tree and there was these golden tablets. Nobody has ever seen those golden tablets. You know, so nobody knows it ever happened, you know, other than him saying that. Well, I believe that the Bible will give us everything that we need to know about future events coming down the road. Yeah. And now, Gabriel, what was he there for? He was giving future events, wasn't he? He said, okay, you're going to be dumb until this is all fulfilled. That means he aren't going to speak until she has her baby. Said to Mary, okay, this is what's going to happen. You're going to have a child, and you're not going to be with a man. The Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you, and you're going to have a child. Those are all future events. Daniel told him of the 70 weeks. All of those have been fulfilled except for the 70th week. And we need to realize that in the day and age we live today, I don't believe that God reveals himself like that anymore because of the Word of God. But it's interesting to see how God uses his messengers to help those that needed help. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for all you've done for us. I pray now that you'll guide and direct us in all that we do and say. Be with us now as we go into church. Pray for those who are on their way. Give them safety as they travel. I just thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for all you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If anybody needs any treasures, we got lots of them outside. Man, where that stuff came from, I haven't got the slightest idea. Friday, when we left Friday, there was nothing out there, or very little out there. I came in yesterday, and it was about 3/4 full. I came in today, and it's full. I have no idea where any of that stuff came from. Yeah, they just come in and drop it off. Instead of putting it in their dumpster, we got to put it in ours. Overwhelming.